Sometimes they couldn't rest at night because even in the day, it would be the only thing they'd think of is that, man, God's going to get me. When Jonathan Edwards preached his sermon, it was really read. It was a very monotone word. He would read the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and he couldn't do a pulpit because they were being persecuted. He would go to barns. They would fill the barns and people would be grabbing the rafters, feeling as if they were slipping into the fires of hell as he read a sermon. Why? Because people's consciences were tender. For you and me, we just say, God, we'll give you what we got left over when we want to and when we get around to it. It's a sad state of affairs in America today, and America's in big trouble because the church is not being the church. And we need to get back to our own personal relationship. When you guys leave in a little while, it's you and God. All I am is a helper of your faith. The Bible says we have no dominion over you, over your faith, but we would be helpers of your joy. Where's the joy to be found? Joy is to be found in Christ. Sure, there are momentary flits in the pan through little things. We just came out of Christmas. You might have got something you really are excited about. But the fact is, that stuff's going to wear out. Jesus never wears out. He's always good. And He's always right there with you. He hears the words that come out of your mouth. He knows when you swear. He knows when you sin with your eyes. He knows when you think thoughts with your mind that you ought not be thinking. He knows when you're embittered toward your mate. He knows when you're insubmissive to your husband. He knows when you're not loving to your wife. He knows when you cut her down and when you pull him down. He knows when you hurt your children by words that shouldn't be said. And sometimes we just need to turn around to our loved ones and say, honey, I'm sorry. You know, when I'm sharing Christ with people, they will be right with me many times up until I ask them to pray and ask the Lord to come to their heart. And then their face will blanch. Do you know if you went to a doctor who convinced you needed a certain surgery and you were sitting there and he showed you the x-rays, he showed you everything that he actually had going on here and he says, you need this and you need it now. This is serious. And you're convinced. Do you know what? He can't do a thing until you put your name on the line saying, okay, let's do this. Same thing with salvation. You can understand every nuance of salvation, but until you sign up, till you receive Christ, till you call on the Lord to receive it, it's not yours. You say, well, I've always believed. Nobody's always believed. Don't do that to yourself. Don't get there and say, Lord, haven't we done many mighty things? Oh man, we've done this and this and this. And he says, I never knew you. Really? I never, ever knew you. Bible says, but ye also are by which you are so saved, if you keep the word which I preached unto you, unless you believed with no purpose. And a lot of people had no purpose in believing. Well, I believe it. It's knowledge I've taken. You know what the Bible says about believing? It says the devil believes and trembles. So when he qualifies it, it says to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God, even to those that believed on his name. You can have all the knowledge about the surgery you need, but until you say, doctor, I want you to do this. Go ahead. You sign me up. Let's tell me when can we get it done. When you come to Christ, you're saying, you know what? I'm a sinner. I know that I'm lost. I know that I need salvation. I realize that my sin keeps mounting up. I keep adding to the backpack. And the Bible tells us that whosoever shall call shall be saved. Do you want to know what Paul did? He said in verse 3, he says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Now, that doesn't mean that he got it from God necessarily. The nuances of the text are these, that he's saying, I'm telling you what I had to do. I'm telling you that even though I am the Apostle Paul, I also had to receive it. I also had to take it. The word for receive here is translated take 30 times to 15 times it's received. Here it's take. The things I also had to take. I had to take the gift. You know, when somebody offers you a gift, you have to take it. You say, I don't want it. You know? Well, I want this variety. You know, people are picking and choosing churches all across America because there's so many varieties. On the continuum of right and wrong, people say, well, you know what? I'm going where it's comfortable. Bible says they're going to heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, not willing to endure sound doctrine. You know that? I don't want to be one heaping. I don't want to be a part of the heaping. I just want to be, what does he say? What does he say? He says, I delivered unto you that which also I received. You know, when you hear Paul's testimony in chapter 9 of the book of Acts, you find out that Paul's on his way, and he's on the way to arrest people who call on the name of Jesus. And the idea of calling on the name is an aorist tense, which means these are people who have called on him for salvation. People who call. Then he says that he is arrested. God arrests him. On the road to Damascus, a great light shines. Paul's knocked to his knees and he's on the ground. And his guys around him are saying, I saw something, I heard something, but I didn't know what it was. And it was the Lord speaking to him. And he said, who are you, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now in that picture, we don't ever see him really calling, do we? But if you go to chapter 22 of the book of Acts, you'll find this verse recorded to us for us in Acts 22:16. Ananias comes to him as the Lord says, go tell Paul's praying. He says, Saul is over there, he's praying. He's the guy. He says, isn't he the guy who was getting everybody who was calling on the name of the Lord? He says, he's a chosen vessel unto me. He says, you go talk to him and you go help him. And the Bible says in Acts 22:16, Ananias said to Paul, Paul, why are you waiting? Why are you tarrying here? He says, you need to arise. You need to get yourself baptized. It's a middle voice. He says, you need to get yourself baptized. First thing you got to do, you need to get yourself baptized. And he says, not only that, you need to get your sins washed away. And then he says, how do you do that? Calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. How do you get your sins washed away? You call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, I don't care about my sin. I love my sin. I want my sin, but I'll call. Oh, no, 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 no. You got to have conviction. If the Holy Spirit's never convicted you about your sin, do you think that's really born again? Do you think that's really saved? You know what? The Bible makes it clear that in the times of Israel's demise, there were a few people, very few, they were called a remnant, who would sigh and cry in Jerusalem. Because of the state of affairs. Sigh and cry. You know what we do today? We say, you're not supposed to sigh and you're not supposed to cry. Take a pill. Right? It's not right. If you're sad, somebody just died in your life. Well, are you okay? No, I'm not okay. I'm dying inside. Well, you should feel better. No, I don't feel better. I lost a loved one. My heart's breaking. Fine. You know what they used to do? They used to cry with them. The Bible says, weep with those who weep. Right? It's okay to weep. It's okay to be sad. It's therapeutic. It's cleansing. Somebody said if your eyes leak, your head won't swell. I like that. But you know what the Bible says? It says he had to receive him. And the Bible says in 22:16 of Acts that he had to wash away his sins calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Calling on the name of the Lord. How do we get saved? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what we do? We live in a day where we do church without ever giving somebody an opportunity to be saved. We don't ask them to get saved. We don't ask them face-to-face to pray a prayer. We're just content to tell them about God, get them real close and comfortable with the information, let them walk away. And when they walk away, they're harder because the conviction came and nobody said, here's what you need to do. When I got saved, I didn't know how to do it. I had to trust those who were before me who did it too. And he says, I'm doing that to you in verse 3. He says, I delivered unto you that first of all, that which I also first of all received. And he says, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now, isn't that cool? He died for our sins, on behalf of our sins. He bore our sins in His body on the tree, the Bible says. The Bible says, this is the blood of the New Testament. Jesus at the Last Supper where He first instituted it, He says, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He died, He shed His blood for our sins, because our sin, your sin, and one for Adam and Eve, was enough to put them out of the garden. And yet, we just feel real comfortable with our sin. And yet, he said, my blood, because violent death was required. We disobeyed. We rebelled. We said, no way, God. We're not doing it your way. Now, guys, I don't know. Somebody made a funny one. They said, you don't have to be a Baptist to go to heaven. And then they quickly add, but why take a chance? And that's funny. You don't have to use the King James Version to go to heaven. But why take a chance? And that's funny. But the bottom line is this. We take a lot of chances. You don't have to go to church to be saved. But when I was dating my wife, all I wanted to do was be with her. All I wanted to do. Man, I just couldn't get close enough, couldn't be with her enough, couldn't spend enough time talking on the phone. Man, we'd be talking all night on the phone, falling asleep. You there? Yeah? You? You awake? Well, I'm not in a minute, but... And I couldn't spend enough time. You know what that is? That's love. God says to the Ephesian church, I have something against you because you have left your first love. Beloved, it's the new year. we have to ask ourselves, what are we going to do? He died for your sins. He shed His blood. He took the violent death you and I deserve. And we don't even think about our sin when we come to Him. We think, well, you know, I don't want to go to hell. It has nothing to do with it. It really doesn't. That is beyond, that is way down the road. What He says is, you need to come to Me because your sins are an affront to God. If you don't want any remedy for your sin, He didn't die for your hell. He didn't die for your eternity. He died for your sins. He says, here's My life, you give Me your sins. Here's My life, your sins have been provoking God, thumbing your nose at God, poking your eye and poking your finger in God's eye, and you realize, you know what, I could be killed any time. God would have been justified. Open His fingers, and I'd drop into eternity, a breath away from eternity. And He could take it away. That's Him making that heartbeat. In Him is life, and the life was the light of men. That's the light. He's in there. He makes the heartbeat. And for some of us, as we get older, our hearts beat a little harder. We lay down at night, we hear our heart beating. What do? We find a new position, or we find a new way to get that heart not to beat hard, because it's reminding us that we are mortal. What does it say? He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And the Bible goes on to say that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He keeps punctuating that because the Scriptures laid the groundwork for all of this. Beloved, I just want to say this morning, as we come onto the cusp of the new year, I just want to say, let's love Him. Don't let anybody divide you from the Word. Don't let anybody divide you from the church. Don't let anybody divide you from its teaching. Don't always plug in the secular music. Some of it's rotten to the core and you know it. But some of it's like rice cakes. It doesn't do you any good, doesn't do you any harm. I understand there's some of that out there. But the fact is there's a whole lot of opportunity to be praising God. There's more resources to know God better than any other time in the history of the world. You can know more, you can understand more, you can get yourself more prepared to share Christ. And yet, we have so many things that we use to dodge. Let's not be like the Corinthians who kept saying, what about this, what about this, what about this, what about this? Let's not be like the apologetics on the apologists on the radio who think they're going to argue people saved. People aren't going to get saved by being argued with. People get saved by being loved. By this they shall know you're My disciples. You know what? The reason the people don't take the church seriously is because they think it's full of hypocrites, right? They don't take Christianity, they don't take church. Why? Because we aren't loving. You can't argue with love. You ever walked up to somebody, they're out there washing their car. Hey, Jim, got room for one more? And it just happens to be some sweet, ushy, gushy, syrupy, wonderful Christian who says, yeah, bring it on over, I'll wash it for you. And you feel like, oh, I don't really want to wash it for me. But wouldn't that be cool if we began to wash somebody else's car? Somebody else's feet? Somebody taking care of somebody else's problems? Caring more about them than ourselves? You say, that's not easy. I know, I'm living in the flesh too. We just got to regroup. And that's what the new year's about. That's what the new day's about, regrouping. Will you love this year? Will you show them Jesus this year? You know, you can't show them by fortitude. You got to love them. When you love Jesus, He'll be who you're talking about. When you love Jesus, He'll be who you're singing about. When you love Jesus, He'll be the one that gives you peace even when everything goes upside down on its ear. Because you'll know that He's there. Would you bow with me for a moment?